Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share your word that you've inspired Pastor Chris and Pastor Steve to ask the church members if they can preach on those different topics during the Advent. And you blessed in my heart to say yes, and you gave me the words to say and how to do it and make the words come alive. And Pastor Steve said, yeah, Holy Spirit make sure the words come alive. I said, you got the, yeah, that's right. Holy Spirit gonna make the words come alive. So Lord, I just ask that we have ears to hear, and I have ears to hear and ears to listen, and have fun sharing your word that you gave me to share. And do it in the way you want me to do it. Don't hold back, and have fun with the way you gave me to do it. Sometimes I use the humor, and sometimes I use Black English vernacular, and then sometimes I use English. Some use a combination of both. So, Lord, thank you for giving me the courage to do it, and the audience to learn from it and be blessed from it, and you blessing me to share it, and it be a blessing from the audience to hear it, and it's going to be fun. In my name is Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. Yes, English is my second language. My first language is what I learned at home, which is whatever, whatever. And sometimes the verbs and subject didn't agree, but it's all good. I'm going to show you with you what the slides. Just hold it like this. Okay. The first slide here is John the Baptist. And look how fashionable he is. You know, the camel's hair and the little belt and the sandals. Notice he's not wearing a crown, and he doesn't have a big trumpet, and there's a lot of people throwing confetti out. Woo! And the wilderness, this is where that region where he was in the wilderness. So I'm going to show you this slide, and I'm going to read the Message version and the NIV. Reason why I chose the Message version as well as the NIV, the Message version reminds me of just common language, like the language you speak at home. So I like that common language. And I'm going to compare verses 2 and 3 from NIV and the Message, verse 8 from NIV and Message. And we'll talk about why we celebrate and honor Advent, and talk about why I chose the verses from Mark. And look at this, John Mark wrote a Haber, you know, to put a smiley face there. So I'll share a little experience I had with John Mark when we went to the sock drive in downtown almost 2 years ago. It was just myself, Adira, and John Mark. And something I'll never forget. Okay. All right. I'll go back over here. Mark's gospel is a fast-paced approach to the life of Jesus Christ. Mark uses the present tense as if he's an eyewitness. It is believed that Mark dictated Peter's account of Jesus' life. He highlights Jesus' ministry, his death and resurrection, in 16 chapters. And I call it the CNN version of the gospel, because it does it in 16 chapters, and he doesn't go into any narratives about his ancestry and all that. He just hits the ground running. Remind me of a giraffe giving birth to his little baby. So when that baby comes out, a calf comes out, come on, let's go. We got to go. So I'm going to read Mark 1 through 8, the NIV version, then I read the Message version. The beginning of God, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight path for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now here's the Message version. The good news of Jesus Christ, the Message, begins here, following to the letter, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Watch closely. I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John the Baptizer appeared in the wild, preaching a baptism of life change that leads to forgiveness of sins. People thronged to him from Judea and Jerusalem, and as they confessed their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan into a changed life. John wore a camel hair habit tied to the waist with a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild field honey. As he preached, he said, "The real action comes next. The star in this drama, to whom I am here as a stagehand, will change your life. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life." His baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, would change you from the inside out. Now, as I go through some of the verses from verses 2 and 3, I give a brief history. And Brother Sam had read some of that brief history from Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 11. In Isaiah 39, King Hosea showed the Babylonian king's envoys all that was in his house of the treasuries palace, like silver, gold, and spices, fine oils. Basically, he showed him everything. Consequently, God told Isaiah to tell Hezekiah the news. He said, "The time will surely come when everything in your house and your palace and all that your predecessors have stored up until this day will be carried off into Babylon. Nothing will be left, said the Lord. And some of your descendants, who your own flesh and blood, who would be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So verses 2 and 3 refer to God's prophecy to Isaiah, okay, in chapter 40 of Isaiah. He said these verses address Judea's exile 150 years before their exile to Babylon. So these verses 2 and 3, they're addressing 150 years before they're actually in exile. So Isaiah is promising them, even though this is 150 years before, Isaiah is promising them that God will meet them in the form of the suffering servant, the very one who would become a great king, and the restoration of the exile pointed to the Lord's kingdom. This first taste of salvation merges with the predictions of the first full salvation from Jesus Christ would bring. Making a straight path is a call for us to see the coming of the Lord, and it's also calling us to trust that what he said is going to come true. So verses 2 and 3, "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." Over here in the Message, it says, "Watch closely, I'm sending my preacher ahead of you. He'll make the road smooth for you. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight." Over here in NIV, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make the straight path for him." And these paths are straight. It's basically preparing your heart and know that what has been said to you is true. Prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your whole soul that the suffering servant is going to offer salvation, and God is not going to leave you in the dust, be exiled in the dust. You're going to have some hope. He's going to prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your soul that Christ the King is coming, and he's offering salvation. And verse 8, because John was baptizing them his way, which is basically repentance and preparing your heart. "I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And the Message here, verse, "I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your life, old life, in for a kingdom life." His baptism, he's just talking about Jesus, his baptism, a holy baptism by the Holy Spirit, will change you from the inside out. And I wanted to go to John 14, verse 26, the Holy Spirit. When he talks about that, Jesus was talking to his disciples in chapter 14. and he was talking about the Holy Spirit. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. So this verse, verse 26, reminds us who the Holy Spirit is. Being baptized with water for the forgiveness of sins, that's great. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit is even better. After we're baptized, we still need God to be with us. He's in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. And the water, we get out of the water, we're out of the water. But we have the Lord with us all the time, and that's forever. So this Holy Spirit baptism, John couldn't give that to him. That's only something that God can give us through his Holy Spirit. And I wanted to extend it to verses 9 through 11 on Mark, because Jesus being baptized by John. Okay? At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn. Ooh, I can imagine that. Open in the Spirit, descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. I'm thinking like James Earl Jones, something like that. This is my impression of James Earl Jones' version of the Lord speaking. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Can you imagine seeing that? Like, whoo, John, know what he's talking about. Lord, know what he's talking about. This is for real. The prophecy is being fulfilled, you guys. Not only from Isaiah, not only from in Genesis, when the Lord was telling Satan in Garden of Eden, and also, Adam and Eve, that Jesus is going to come. He's going to put his heel on that snake. And he's going to redeem his people. That's from Genesis. And now look it. He said it right here. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Like, hallelujah. Woo-wee. This prophecy is coming true. That's what I'm talking about. The words in this Bible are true. They're not something you just read and say, oh, this is a good story. No, this is real. This is all good. It's all real. Okay. Okay. Why do we celebrate or honor Advent? Okay, we reflect on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, our culture looks forward to several yearly events. But what I want to share with you is this is the period beginning 4 Sundays before Christmas and observed as a season of prayer and fasting. Okay, like some of our cultural things that we do, they are worthy of the spirit of the fruit of the Spirit. Like Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for the life he's been giving us, being a blessing to others, praying for our family members, praying for people that we work with, birthdays, appreciating another year in our lives. And some people look forward to the new semester of school, a start of the football season, basketball season, Olympics, arts and crafts, fairs, Comic-Con, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas shopping. You know, the list goes on and on. So it's a good thing to look forward to. I don't know if you about the, you know, Black Friday or Cyber Monday. I don't hate on people who want to go Black Friday shopping, Cyber Monday shopping. Hey, that's fine. But, you know, people look forward to those things. But we look forward to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, we look back to the fulfillment of Christ's first coming. That's what we're doing, looking back. And we also look forward to his second coming, okay? And on the third one, we recognize that Christ is the Son of God. What? We recognize that Christ is the Son of God. What? What you say, man? We recognize that Christ is the Son of God, and eternal salvation only comes through who? It comes through Jesus Christ. Comes from who? Jesus Christ. Who? Jesus Christ. Who did it come from? Come from Jesus Christ. Okay. And I'm going to read John 3:16-17 and verses 22-36, referencing where this address is and where I'm getting this information from. I'm not just making it up. Okay. So reading John 3:16-17, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus sneaking over there at midnight instead of coming in daytime when everybody could see him. It's okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, as we read from Mark 2 and 3. He came to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why he created him. Okay, I'm going to go to 22:36. This is John talking about some of his disciples. And John, this is his testimony about Jesus. Okay, verse 22. After Jesus talking to Nicodemus, verse 22. After Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. He could have said, fool. That's why he didn't say fool. That's why I said, I'm not worthy to tie his shoe straps. You know, but he didn't say that. This is the nice, clean version. Okay. I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom awaits and listens for him, and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. I like that. I'm going to verse 36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is sent from earth belongs to the earth. So he's like basically saying, the one I was referring to is up above, that's Jesus, and I'm just preparing the way. That's my job. I'm doing my job. I'm not telling people to come follow me. I'm telling them to follow him, okay? I could imagine look at that guy's face when he was telling this. And it speaks from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives a spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's words remains on him. And I guess he just said, okay, that's what I got to say. And the man's like, okay, man, whatever. But it's in here, verses 22-36 in John chapter 3. So I wanted to add those in. Because John kept to his word, even some time afterwards, after he baptized him, he wasn't trying to parade around like he's a chosen one. He's not the chosen one. He's letting them know that he's representing, he's preparing the way for the Lord. And he did a good job of it. And I also want to say about this is Jesus conquered Satan in the wilderness. That also is included in Mark. Satan tricked Adam and Eve in the garden. But he didn't do a good job of tricking the Lord when the Lord was tempted in the garden. Not in the garden, but he was tempted in the wilderness. Christ brings us hope. And not only does he conquer us from the punishment of sins, he provides us with his Holy Spirit to overcome the power that sin can have over us. Sin can have a power over us, but with Christ's Holy Spirit, he helps us overcome that sin. And overcome that power in sin. So, yes, we have eternal life, but we're not in heaven yet. We're still here on earth. So he helps us overcome the power that sin can have over us. Because you know it does take a hold on us. Because everyone in here, we all know that we're under some kind of stress somehow. But we have hope the Lord is going to help us through it. No matter what, he's going to help us through it. We can't help us through it. And he gives us brothers and sisters, other believers, to help us go through those. We pray together. We help each other out together. We can text each other. We can call each other. We can encourage people we work with. How come we can do that? It's because of the Lord. That's how come we can do it. It's because of what Lord is doing for us. Yeah, even though we can have some stresses,
this time of year, people say, oh, this is really the worst, one of the bad times of the year. There's a lot of suicides or murders. We're like, man, what about Jesus? What about the hope he gives us? How come you're not talking about that? That's what we need to do. Talk more about what Jesus is doing and what he came here to do. So I love him for that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm at the part where why I chose Mark. I'm trying to take this out because I'm going to get closer. Oh, I know how to do it. Yeah, just pull it out. Okay. Okay, I'm standing over here. Okay. Who is Mark? His Jewish name was John. This is from Acts 13, verses 5 to 13. His Roman name was Mark, hence the name John Mark. So I didn't know he had a Jewish name and a Roman name. I was wondering why he has two names. Why can they just can't call him John, and why can't they just call him Mark? So that's why it says it right here. This is the address, Acts 13, 5 to 13, and Acts 12, 12, 25, 15, 37. Also, Mark was introduced in Acts 12, 12 as the son of Mary. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I said, it can't be Jesus' brother, not that Mary. It's a different Mary. Peter went to her house while other believers were at her house praying for Peter's release from prison. Remember that servant girl, Rhoda, came to the door when Peter knocked on the door? I was wondering, whose house is that? That was Mary's house, John Mark's mom's house. And John Mark was, I guess he was there too. Yeah, he was there. Yeah, because he was, see, Acts 12, 12, he was there too. He went on an embattled mission trip with Barnabas and Saul, Acts 12, 25. I wonder if he heard Barnabas and Saul arguing about him. And he said, guys, come on. You know, what's the big deal? Can't you guys get along with each other? He spent time with Peter, referring to John Mark as his son. And I put a smiley face there like, dude, I'm not your son, man. Come on. I just met you. I can't be your son, but I know what you're talking about. You love me like I'm you're my dad and I'm your son. Yeah, that's good, but you're not my dad, though, but it's all good. He spent time with them, right. And Mark is credited as the author of the gospel, according to Mark. It's reported as the earliest written gospels, about 55, 65 AD. So it's the earliest written and the fewest chapters, like I was telling you before, the CNN version, only 16 chapters. It has 16 chapters. And another reason why I like this Mark gospel, when they asked me which verses I want to read, I wanted to read Mark because if you read one chapter a day, you can possibly read Mark 22 times a year. And I did that. I did that in 2007 or 2008. I was wondering, what's a good way to read the Bible besides reading the Bible in a year process? So I wanted to do something like that. And end up reading it like 22 times or 24 times. If you read two of those chapters in one day, you can read it two chapters. You can read it twice in a year. You can actually read it 24 times a year if you want. Or more than that, if you can read more chapters per day than one or two. So I read this book, 22 times. And I encourage other people. You say, man, I don't know what to read, man. I'm not trying to make fun of people when they say this. Please believe this when I say this. I don't know what to read. My Bible reading is getting stale. Well, read one chapter of Mark every day. And I did that, and I was like, the first month, I said, okay, this is kind of boring. And I said, Lord, I don't want this to be boring. I want to read it every day. He said, well, read some of the references then and read some of the commentaries and see what this takes you. And what it took me is, after I read one chapter, I said, I want to read some more of the New Testament. So I read the New Testament twice within the same year. And I said, I want to go to the Old Testament. Go ahead and read the Old Testament too. So I started reading the Old Testament. And I read within 1 year, I read all of Mark 22 times, read the Old Testament twice, and I was in the process of finishing the Old Testament. I said, this is fun. So I said, in 2009, I'm going to keep on going, read three chapters every day. He said, knock yourself out and have some fun. That's what the Lord said, knock yourself out and have fun. And I have fun. And all of a sudden, the Bible became more important to me than before. And I used to read it, like I read it, fall asleep when I read it. And I wake up, what was I reading? I said, come on, you do it again. The Lord said to me, do it again. I was like, oh. Because you got to understand what you're reading. If you don't understand what you're reading, you're just reading a book, man. Come on. That's what the Holy Spirit talked to me like that. Come on, man. That's how the Holy Spirit talks to me. You got to read it again so it can make some sense. Come on, boy. You can do it. Come on. What you read? What is it about? Who is this affected? How does it apply to your life? Huh? If you can't explain it like that, you don't know what you just got to read. Come on, man. Act like you're talking to a deer about it. Can you talk to a deer about it? Can you break it down? No. Well, read it again. Oh, I got to read it again. This is a lifelong lesson, baby. We in it for the long haul, man. You okay? Okay, okay. It's not just for the short term. It's for the long term. So when I'm 90-something, if I'm still alive, yes. If you're still alive, we can roll like that. So that's the relationship I have with the Lord. We talk to each other like that. Okay. Now, John Mark, Rhoda Haber. That's another reason I picked Mark. I said, that's John Mark's name. And when I introduced him to John Mark, I said, that's John Mark. I want to say, that's John Mark from the Bible. And I thought, don't say that out loud. These people don't even know you. So I had to keep it to myself. So here's, I wanted to close by sharing an experience I had with John Mark that will make me like John Mark gospel even more, especially after reading it 22 times and everything. We had, I was here, we came here in the Thursday after Thanksgiving, or the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 2012. And we saw in the bulletin, I think it was in the bulletin, there was going to be a sock giveaway, coat giveaway in downtown, like the first or second week in January. So I said, okay, let's do that. And so I came, well, Deer and I came, and then Pastor Chris and Rachel were giving kids rides. And I was thinking, who's going to come with me? And only one person, they didn't know me. The kids looked at me like, I don't know that guy. So only John Mark here. I come with you. I said, okay, come on. And that's when I had the Corolla, and I was thinking, is he going to get in the ride with us? I said, okay, cool. I didn't know him that well, but I said, I know Pastor Steve and Ms. Monda. I've known them from a long time ago. So we was in the vehicle. We were driving around, and I couldn't find Pastor Chris. I couldn't find Rachel. I said, oh, no, man, we lost. He said, we're going to have so much fun. I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to have so much fun. I was getting nervous because I didn't know where they were. I didn't know where Pastor Chris was, or Pastor Rachel. Because we were supposed to stay in the group. It was just me and Deer and Pastor and John Mark. And we was by the Salvation Army. A lot of guys standing around like this. This is what they were standing around doing like this. I was like, what are they doing that for? And they're standing around like 10 guys and people were just walking up, looked like they was handing them a note. I can't even hand them a note, giving them some drugs or something. Handing notes to each other and walking away. So I had parked down the street from there. And John Mark said, let's go over there. I said, no. We're not going over there. We're going to walk around the other way. Come on, man. I said, no. And I used the excuse, I have a deer with me. Remember that deer? You don't remember? You don't remember? Okay. I said, we're going to walk this other way. And so John Mark was so happy, and he started walking. I said, we don't walk ahead, man. Let's walk together. All three of us walk together. And it was dark already, too, because it's January. And some people laying down. John Mark went up to a lady who was laying down asleep. Hi, want us to pray for you? I said, man, don't say that. He said, why not? I said, you know what? The Lord said, why not? It sounded like the Holy Spirit talking to me. I said, man, just go for it, man. Go for it. Just go for it. So he started praying. She said, yeah, I need some prayer. And I said, well, look here. I was thinking. And we prayed. And some other people then prayed, and we gave us some socks. Deer was handing socks. And I was like, this is amazing. He said, yeah, man, it's amazing. I said, yeah, it is amazing. I was thinking, Lord, this is something else. And so some guy looking, he was getting real angry, started talking to himself. I said, John Mark, what do you want to do? He said, let's keep going. I said, all right. The person was talking loud and insane. I didn't know what they were talking about. He said, let's go. I said, yeah, let's go, John Mark. So we went across the street. And we encountered a young lady with a pit bull. And I said, let's not go over there. They got a pit bull. He said, no, let's go over there anyway. I said, man. I was thinking the Holy Spirit said, yes, to go. So we went over there. He said, you like to pray? No. He said, come on, let's pray. And we started praying. And then she started talking to us. You know, I don't remember everything she was saying. She was talking to us. I was talking to her. I think Deira said something. I don't know if Deira said anything or not. But Deira was watching. And so we talked to her. And she did not like God. She thought God had left her and forsaken her.
But John Mark was talking to her, and I was talking to her, and she felt more peace. She said, I need to think about this more. And it looked like she wanted to cry, and I was like, Lord, if John Mark wasn't here, I would have been on the other side across the street, and this lady would not have felt this way. She wanted to consider more of you, Lord. And so we prayed again, and she told us, thank you. And I looked at him and said, dude, you're tripping me out, man. I said, you got a lot of courage, man. I like you, man. He said, cool. He said, I like you, too. I said, okay, let's keep going. And we saw another person. She said she had ran away from Boston. She was mad at her parents. She's using drugs. And John Mark was smiling. I was like, why are you smiling at her? Why don't you tell me? I was kind of elbowing him. He said, it's okay. He told me it's okay. It's okay. I said, why are you doing that? You know, I was thinking to myself, man, why you? And he was smiling. She was looking at him like, why are you smiling? He said, it's cool. It's cool. And he said, we can pray. I was like, man, the dude want to pray. Yeah, he's supposed to pray. I was like, yeah. And we prayed, and we walked away. I said, man, I don't think she's listening. He said, it's okay, Miko. It's okay. And you know what? We got a half a block away. She said, hey, you guys. I said, who's she talking to? And you turn, I don't know. I said, keep walking. He said, turn around. And that lady, she said, hey. She was talking to us. So we met her halfway, and we stood there and talked to her. John Mark asked her if he wanted to exchange Facebook information because he wanted to keep in touch with her and wanted her to pray and get back with her family. I was like, woo! I started getting really excited. I said, yeah, that is real good. I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. I was like, yeah, because John Mark listening to God. Who am I listening to? I said, oh, I need to listen to the Lord. The Lord is going through John Mark. I'm getting scared because I can't find the people I'm supposed to be with. I need to have some courage, like John Mark. John Mark has some courage. I said, okay, I can have some courage too. So we had courage, and she started talking to us, and she was talking about spending more time with the Lord, and also she thought about changing her life and getting rid of those drugs. And John Mark said, yeah, keep in touch. I keep praying for you. And she said, thank you. And she had a shirt on that says John 10:10. I said, that says, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they may have life and give it abundantly. I said, that's what John 10:10 says. You wearing that because God wants you to know that he is going to destroy that devil. He come to give you ever. He come to give us life and life abundantly. Just because we mess up, everybody messes up. And she said, yeah, people talking about me and laughing at me. John Mark started laughing hard. I was like, why are you laughing? He said, people laugh about me too. I don't care. And she said, really? No, I don't care. Not a big deal. Because God loves us. That's why I want to follow God. That's what he said. It matters what God thinks. And she said, thank you. And her hands are real dirty. I said, I don't care. I'm shaking. She shook her hands. And I was like, oh, my goodness. She shook her hand. But I said, it's okay. That's what I was thinking. But it's okay because we reached out. And I said, dude, it's late, man. It's almost 9 o'clock. I said, your parents going to be worried. No, it's okay. So I said, please call and let them know. I'm going to give you a ride home. He said, no problem. And he called his parents. Hey, no problem. And what I realized is Pastor Steve and Vonda, not only they trust him, but they were able to trust the relationship I had with John Mark to be with him and even bring him home. And that kind of trust is what the Lord is asking of us. Trust him. Even when the odds don't look right, trust him anyway. He'll get us through it. It's not going to be easy, but he'll get us through it. So that trust, that's what he's looking for. We already know that he's we give eternal life for him, but trust him. Trust him. So thank you very much. On the end of the prayer, the prayer is, Lord, thank you for your word always being true. We trusted it came true. It came true and through my Isaiah, through the gospel of John of Mark. It just comes through. It comes through in the Bible in many ways, and you're always with us. You always live with us, like you said. May our rest of our evening and our day, we reflect on trusting you. Your word is true, and your arrival is true. You came the first time. You're going to come again the second time, too. In my name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.